We want to say we'd love your thoughts as well at hereandnow.org or on facebook.com/hereandnowradio, but let's get to the decisions. In the first case, the court ruled that all lawfully married couples, gay or straight, should get federal benefits when they said the provision of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act that defines marriage as being between a man and a woman is unconstitutional. Emily Bazelon has been looking at all the Supreme Court decisions for us this week. She's legal affairs editor at Slate. Emily, I think people pretty much get that provision and that this changes the thinking about whether gay couples, married couples can get benefits. But I just want to ask, there's another provision of DOMA that allows states to decide whether to recognize legal same-sex marriages from other states. So we've been hearing for the past couple of hours, we've been hearing analysts say DOMA is dead. Does that mean that that other states' right provision is dead as well as the definition of marriage provision?
No. The only part of DOMA that was at issue in this case is the federal government's definition of marriage for the purposes of federal benefits. So the parts where the states get to pick whether to recognize each other's marriages, that's still there. That's for another day.
And why is everybody saying DOMA's dead?
Because it's a shorthand, I think, right? Yeah. And I think also we've been very focused on this idea of the Defense of Marriage Act defining marriage as the union between a man and a woman. And that that legal definition is dead for all intents and purposes.
So what does this ruling mean? What happens immediately?
What happens immediately is that gay couples who are legally married in states that recognize gay marriage and got married there should start receiving federal benefits really soon. Presumably, the Obama administration has been preparing for this ruling and will put it into effect as soon as possible. And then I think there will be a really interesting second question about couples who get married legally in New York, for example, and then move to New Jersey, which doesn't have full marriage recognition. What about them? What happens to their federal benefits?
Yeah, okay, so we'll take that up. In fact, we're going to talk about the politics of this as well later in the program. But it also immediately means that the woman who brought the suit does not have to pay the taxes on her deceased spouse's estate.
That's right. Edie Windsor, who is an 82-year-old widow at the heart of this case, who's shown a great deal of passion, she just saved herself a big estate tax bill. And I think there will be those kinds of benefits, not just money entirely, but also access to Social Security benefits and military pensions, Defense Department benefits. That's going to play out across the country and really in a very tangible way reward gay couples who decide to get married.
So the ruling in DOMA was 5-4. Justice Kennedy writing the majority opinion. He's joined by the four liberal justices, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Stephen Breyer, Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor. The dissenters, Chief Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Antonin Scalia. And that's a traditional breakdown. But just comment on what some are saying was Scalia's dissent. It's described as blistering. He called the decision jaw-dropping. Some are saying they haven't seen as pointed a dissent as since Bush v. Gore. So just your thoughts on that.
You know, Scalia is a flamethrower. A lot of his dissents have very incendiary, pointed language in them, in fact. And I actually thought that what was surprising about the dissent, it's all about the idea of the court taking too much power upon itself to decide this case. It's not really, at least in its main thrust, about Scalia's moral disapproval of gay people. It's really mostly he is rebuking the court and Justice Kennedy for what he sees as a kind of grand notion of the court's own power.
Okay, so that's DOMA. Jeremy's got the next one.
Yeah, there was another big ruling today, Robin, in favor of gay marriage. It involves Proposition 8. That's the voter-approved ban on same-sex marriage in California. That ruling stems from a 2008 California Supreme Court ruling which legalized gay marriage in the state. Thousands then got married after that. Then voters approved a ban on gay marriage. That is Proposition 8. Lower courts had said that Prop 8 was unconstitutional. And today the Supreme Court basically said, Emily, that it agreed with those lower courts. I want to first, before we talk about this, just play some sound here from David Boies today, who argued against Prop 8 before the Supreme Court.
Our plaintiffs now get to go back to California and together with every other citizen of California marry the person they love.
So, Emily, is that right? I mean, do people in California, same-sex couples, now have the right to marry?
You know, I think that will be correct, but it's not totally evident to me right this second, because the lower court opinion that stands is from the district court. It's from trial. It's Judge Vaughn Walker. And so it's really going to be up to the governor's office how to interpret that ruling and whether to apply it statewide. I expect that it will apply statewide and that gay marriage is coming to California. But the Supreme Court did not directly order that today.
What does that mean, whether to apply it statewide? How else would it be applied?
Well, when you have a district court ruling, just to get a little in the weeds here, that ruling is really just like that judge and his domain. It's not a statewide ruling, right? He's not the state Supreme Court. He's not the federal appeals court that has a sway over the entire state. And so then you have this question of whether his ruling is binding on the entire state.
Right.
And I think it will be, but it's not completely evident, legally speaking.
One more thing, Emily, and then we want you to stay with us as we get some reaction to this. But the breakdown of the justices in this case was really interesting. It was some of the conservative justices, Alito and Thomas, joining Sotomayor and Kennedy on this ruling.
Right. You have this weird 5-4 that does not break down on traditional ideological lines. But I think it's a little deceiving because really all the court was deciding was whether the supporters of California's gay marriage ban had standing. Hmm. In other words, legally were entitled to be in court defending this law because the governor of California chose not to do that. So it's an interesting question, but it's really not a kind of ideological question. It's not the question of whether California should or shouldn't have gay marriage or whether there's a constitutional right to gay marriage.
Emily Bazelon at Slate, and Robin has someone for us now.
Well, I think we should get some reaction. Ricardo Moreno from Los Angeles, California is on the line. He and his partner Arturo Avina had planned to get married when gay marriage was first approved in California. Then while they were waiting, it was struck down. So Ricardo, just your thoughts today.
Well, you know, we're really excited the fact that Prop 8 itself was overturned. We did kind of wish that it was going to be something that was a much more broader ruling, although, you know, we're elated just to be, you know, really in this point. It's really great that we finally get to share those benefits, you know, the Social Security, the idea that when we purchase a home that it's joint property. And, you know, even if something as simple as not having to explain, you know, when I say, oh, my husband, that, you know, the next question usually is, it's like, oh, did you guys get married during that time? And it almost makes you feel kind of a second-class citizen.
Yeah. Well, but you haven't married. You will.
Yes,
you will now.
We will now.
Yeah.
And we actually didn't. At the same time, we had planned a church wedding, and we actually did have our own ceremony over at All Saints Church in Pasadena.
Yeah. But now it's official, and you mentioned as well that the DOMA decision, does that make it even more appealing for you? We were hearing yesterday from a financial advisor that some gay couples, let's say their incomes are high, they may decide not to get married because that puts them in a higher tax bracket. But is it, I mean, in addition to the love that's at the base of a relationship, how much does it make it more valuable to you now to get married legally because you have these benefits?
Well, you know, it's definitely one of those things where when every point in our relationship where we decided to basically meld two things together, you know, for instance, like health insurance. Art is a teacher, and we wanted to put myself on as health benefits. We had to basically go through a very lengthy process of becoming domestic partners and then having to wait 90 days for a decision whether basically our relationship was validated. And then to come back, and then it's like, oh, by the way, you're now going to be taxed on your income, and then we're going to give you these benefits. It's nice to finally just say, okay, you know what, we're married, and here you go. Here's your benefits without anything else.
Yeah. Ricardo Moreno in Los Angeles, California. He and his partner Arturo Avina now plan to get married after today's historic Supreme Court rulings on both Prop 8 and DOMA. Ricardo, best to you.
Thank you very much.
And yet not everyone is happy, and not everyone believes, as Emily just alluded to, that this Prop 8 means what people think it does, Jeremy.
Yeah, a lot of complex stuff to go through and a lot of opinions on this. Chris Plant is with the National Organization for Marriage. His group donated more than $1 million in the campaign to get Prop 8 on the California ballot. He was at the steps of the Supreme Court when the decision came down today. And Chris, thanks for joining us. And what's your reaction to this ruling?
Well, the Supreme Court got both cases wrong. It clearly got the DOMA case wrong because the federal government has the right to determine its own rules for federal purposes. And, you know, if there are issues of specific policy, then we should go one by one through those policy issues. And it was very unfortunate in the DOMA case. In the Prop 8 case, this is a travesty in a lot of ways. Over 7 million people voted to define marriage as one man and one woman, and their votes are now considered invalid because the governor, the elected official, the person who is charged with upholding the Constitution of California, refused to back it. And Americans should be very afraid by that response, because where states are able to have referenda or initiative, they are usually done because the voters want to do something different than the government itself.
But Chris, it does appear that the tide is turning on what you're saying. I mean, yes, Prop 8 in 2008, the voters did approve it narrowly. But these days, I mean, 55% of Americans are supportive of gay marriage, according to a CNN poll. That's up 11 points since President Obama took office. He has come out in favor of it. Many more states now have legalized it. Where do you go from here in the campaign against it?
Well, we go to a couple places. First of all, 41 states recognize marriage as one man and one woman to some degree, and 31 of them have actually voted on it in a popular vote. And so to say the tide is turning, that jury is very much still out. And where do we go from here? We go to California and we go and fight this, because Prop 8 was not overturned. It was not determined to be unconstitutional. As Emily said, it was a narrow response or a narrow ruling that, you know, at its most basic only applies to the two couples that were in district court. I agree with her that there will be a fight to see if it applies to the whole state, but we go back to court now. The Supreme Court did not find a constitutional right to same-sex marriage. This idea of inevitability was not carried out or upheld by the Supreme Court. Hmm. So I'm very cautious to say
Chris Plant.
Tide's turned.
Yeah, Chris Plant, thanks so much for joining us. He's with the group, the National Organization for Marriage.
And he is not the only one having this interpretation of these rulings today. Republicans who are against gay marriage have come forward. They were quiet earlier in the day, but for instance, the Republican Speaker John Boehner says he's disappointed in the Supreme Court's decisions, and he says, obviously, I want to see a robust national debate over marriage, and it's my hope that states will define marriage as a union between a man and a woman. So Republicans, many are hoping that this fight goes to the states. The ACLU has hired Steve Schmidt. Steve Schmidt, of course, the former Republican consultant, yeah, to work with Michelle Bachmann, to bring Republicans into same-sex marriage battle. In other words, they want Steve Schmidt to work on Republicans. So we will take up some of the politics of this later in the hour. We thank Emily Bazelon of Slate. We'll take a break. Be back in 1 minute here and now.